world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, baby, we're under the gun today. Got a lot going on here. We're all Mark Trump stayed with us again last night, and Michelle and I and Mark Trump, we're heading to Pastor Mike Spaulding's Go Ye Therefore conference in Lima, Ohio. It's a couple hours from here. We've got to get up early and pack. The event kicks off today at 1 o'clock. I'm the first guy up. I tee it up at 1:15. I get about 40, 45 minutes. Mark Trump's on later on this afternoon, a bevy of great speakers. And I know many of you can't be there, but you can still live stream it. And Jared, I should be more prepared than this, but you're probably more prepared than me. You can go to goyetherefore.com, I believe it is, and all the information you need to know about live streaming and the speakers and all that, you can find it right there. Again, this is a great variety. I enjoy these things for a couple of different reasons. Say this the right way. Number one, there are a lot of things that will be spoken today and tomorrow I do not agree with. Be a lot of things. But I think it's healthy for everybody to hear, and then through the discernment of your own. I'm going somewhere today. This is going to be a good show. Just, I know that it is. If you're like me, I spend a lot of time in my life as a very, very uninformed, misinformed, ignorant. I hate to use that word. That's because that may not be the proper word, but it's the truth. By the way, to be ignorant means to ignore the truth. Ignorant. Someone who is ignorant means they ignore the truth. The difference between being misinformed and being ignorant, right? So I don't think I was ignorant. I didn't ignore the truth. I simply didn't know the truth. I spent a great, great, great deal of my early Christian walk following a faith and believing a faith that I had never, ever studied, had no idea of, had no proof of. I only repeated what everybody else had told me. When I first heard the doctrine of a rapture, I thought, what? What? And then I went around and continued. By the way, I believe in a rapture. I believe in a catching up of us all gathering together in the air with the Lord. I believe that. Whether it's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, that's where the debate lies, all right? All that stuff. So when I mention the word rapture, I want to relax, let some of you folks out there relax. Some of you misinformed and uninformed Christians relax, because I've done a little bit of study on it. And I would advise you to do, listen, you really want to be informed? You really want to be informed? Then study what the other side says about your doctrine. Because the other side will poke holes in what you believe. They will. And then once they poke the holes in what you believe, if you're confident in what you believe, you'll research it and you'll come to what you believe to be some standard of the truth. I spent the early part of my Christian life being trained by a pastor who I just blindly believed. And today, if I could go back and sit in his pulpit, or sit in his church, I'd stand up many times and interrupt him and say, pardon me, where does it say that? Pardon me, where does it say that? Pardon me, where does it say that? And that's what most of us are. Very, very uninformed, misinformed Christians. We don't even know the essentials of our faith. And that's why we end up in the mess that we're in today. So I love to go to these conferences because I'm going to hear stuff about. I'm going to hear things I do not agree with. And being of the competitive nature that I am, I'm going to do research after I hear these things and say yes, he's true and I'm wrong, or yes, he's wrong, and what I'm believing is true. I believe that's healthy. I believe it's healthy. It's the only way that you grow. And so I'm going to go there today, and I'm going to hear some guys say some things. We all know that they have different theological beliefs, right? We all have different doctrines. And it's crazy to think that I cannot sit or fellowship with someone because we don't agree on a doctrine. That's foolish to me. When it comes to engaging in things that impact all of us, the cultural war, for instance, I don't care if you're pre, post, mid, or no when it comes to saving babies. It ain't got anything to do with any of it. And I hear people say this, that when I go to the abortion clinic, I'm not gonna go stand with those Catholics. Well, what, they making you be a Catholic? When you go to the abortion clinic, do they grab you and take you over and dunk you in holy water and make you be Catholic? Or are you there together with different doctrines trying to rescue babies? And does the doctrine of the Catholics have anything to do with whether or not babies get saved? You say, well, they're out there praying that rosary. I don't believe in that rosary. Okay. I'm standing out there believing with people, who believe certain things about the rapture that maybe I don't believe, but it doesn't prevent me from doing the Lord's work. Now, it's different if they won't make me say, listen, in order for you to be out here, you have to join in our church. You have to agree with what we agree with to be able to be out here and rescue babies. Now we've got a different issue going on. But folks, I'd like to go stand out on the street and become a millionaire by simply going up to people and say, pardon me, what denomination are you? And have them say, well, I'm a Presbyterian. Okay, good. Can you tell me what's the difference between a Presbyterian and a Methodist? I could become rich because the average Presbyterian could not tell you the difference between them and a Methodist. And I could go do the same thing to a Methodist. Say, could you tell me what's the difference between what you believe and what a Baptist believes? What separates a Methodist from a Baptist? They don't know. I was raised Baptist. Well, that's the church that I started in. I got saved in that church, and Baptist was over the name of it. So I spend my days pondering, thinking as I all go about my day. I pray without ceasing. In other words, prayer, in my mind, again, prayer is communication with the Lord. I'm always in communication with the Holy Spirit. I try to be constantly in communication with the Holy Spirit, who guides me into all truth. And I can't help it, but I continue to ask these questions about things that just don't line up with me. They just don't line up with me. And I think it's healthy. So to double back around, I'm going to go today, and I'm going to hear Mark Trump talk about light, L-I-G-H-T. And that's going to be fascinating. Because he's going to open my eyes to things about light that I never really considered. I'm ever learning, the Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You'll never get all, folks, you'll never get all this. You will never, ever, ever have it all right. None of us will. And sadly, it's been the tool of the enemy that he takes what we know and he pits us against each other. Well, I don't believe that. Really? Okay. Well, I do. Why do you believe that? Well, that's what I've always believed. Well, why do you always believe that? Well, Pastor Goody Two Pants told me that back when I was a little kid. Oh, where'd Pastor Goody Two Pants find that? I don't know. He's my denomination. We're Church of Gods. We've always been Church of God. Really, what's Church of God believe? As compared to the Pentecostals down the street. Well, I don't know, but that's what we believe. God believes that God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Most of us could not, if a gun was put to our head, it clearly define, explain what we believe. The Bible calls it the essential doctrines. I'll jump into that a little bit here in a minute. Essential doctrines of a faith, what it means to be a Christian, what you have to believe in order to be a Christian. But see, that's not what bothers me. Those aren't the things that we fight over. We fight over the non-essentials. We divide over the non-essentials. So last night, I took my family out to get a hamburger. Took Lexi Hall. God bless Lexi Hall. We took Lexi out to eat last night. Lexi's going to go. I'm going to get her on here. She's going to go full-time with Mark Harrington at Created Equal, and she needs to raise some support. We're going to get Lexi on here and raise her some support. So Michelle and I and Mark Trump and Lexi went out to sat along Buckeye Lake and had us a good old hamburger last night. And the girl came up to me and says, what do you want? I said, well, I think I'll have that hamburger. Whatever the hamburger is, that's what I'll have. And she says, okay, do you want anything on it? And I said, well, what do you mean? She says, would you like some cheese on it? I said, well, yeah, but I say, I'm starting with the essential doctrine of the hamburger, right? She says, yeah, I like some cheese. I said, throw some lettuce on there. Throw some mayo on there. Throw a tomato on there and some pickles. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Throw that on there too. And what I end up with is something called what'd they call that burger I ate last night? They called it a something burger. Something burger. But essentially it was a hamburger. The essential doctrine of it was a hamburger. But see, in American Christianity, we argue over the mayos and the tomatoes and the pickles. I don't like pickles, and I don't want pickles on mine, but I want pickles on mine. And so we end up with a Whataburger that we've made on our own to satisfy our own desires, because that's the way we always eat. You ask yourself this. When you go get a hamburger, I'm talking about you now, and somebody says, what you want? What do you want on it? Do you always put the same stuff on it? I do. I always put the same stuff on my hamburger. But it's just a hamburger. When you get down to the essentials, it's just a dead cow ground up. And we fight over non-essentials. Non-essentials. And I'm going to go to the conference this week. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not being critical, Pastor Mike. If you listen, I pray you understand I'm not being critical. I'm being analytical here. I'm being analytical. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to this meeting where we're all eating hamburgers, but there are different condiments being put on the hamburger. It's called doctrine. Not all of it essential. Do you have to believe in speaking in tongues to be my brother? No. No, not if you have the essential doctrines. Do you have to believe in the laying on of hands on the sick for recovery in order to be my brother? No, that's not an essential doctrine. It's not essential. It would be a very plain hamburger. If your Christian walk was just on the essentials, it'd be a hamburger plain, just plain. And we all spice up our hamburgers with different doctrines. And unfortunately, the arguments we get with each other is over lettuce or not, tomatoes or not. Pickles, you like pickles? Yeah, I like pickles. Okay, put pickles. No, we don't have pickles at our church. Amen? Come on in here, somebody. I'm going to take you some. I'm going to ask you another question here in a minute. What's your reaction to what I just said? Do you even know the essential doctrines of the Christian faith? Could you explain it to somebody?
Coach, that was what went in my mind when you talked about essential. There are some essential things. I mean, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're not my brother. You're just not my brother. And there are some other essential things. But how many people have ever actually been, for lack of a better way to phrase it, led of the Holy Spirit, which I believe everybody should be prompted to do this, but go to the Word of God and search out, read it, and have the Holy Spirit tell you what parts are essential or not. You know, there's some verses that will help you out on that search, but it's up to each person to make that search and to get those essential foundational things established in their lives, because without it, you're going to be blown around and accept every wind and doctrine, and we know what the Bible says about that.
I spent about 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know. I spent, Larry, I believe me now, just talking about me, lettuce, tomato, mayo. Okay, this is me. I believe in, sit down, some of you, I'm going to expose myself here. Some of you may never listen again. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I believe in that. That's lettuce, mayo, tomato. I believe that. I spent a great deal of time in my life sitting in a church that didn't believe it. Didn't believe it. You see, I saw it as non-essential. I saw it as a non-essential doctrine. And I would go to that church and I would hear that they didn't believe in that. So I says, well, listen, I got to go someplace where they have mayo. I got to go someplace where they have mayonnaise. I can't, well, okay. But see, those are non-essentials. When we get focused on the non-essentials, when we get focusing on the things that are really not important, that's when division comes. I'm born again, Holy Spirit filled. I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, if you don't like that mayo, okay, turn off. But it's not essential. Even those who say, well, brothers, we agree to disagree. Well, okay. Because why? We all like our hamburgers different. So I thought this morning, anybody else want to comment on that? Say, Coach, I didn't know you believed that. Well, what does it matter? What does it matter what I like on my hamburger? What does it matter? And who told us?
What was Coach, what matters is what we do together as the body of Christ. I experienced it again this week where, oh, well, you're a Catholic, you know, and it was a whole thing, Coach. And I'm just standing here dumbfounded, and I was talking to Victor, and I go, you know, Vic, that means I can't talk to you. I can't talk to Coach because, well, I'm a Catholic and you're not. Mm-hmm. So we can't do this. So we might as well just forget about it and hang it up and go home.
I know many, Matt. I know many who say they will not work with Catholics. I know many who will say that. I'm not one of them. I will not. Hey, Matt, listen, I'm not going to Mass. I'm not going to go to Mass and sit with you in Mass, okay? I'm not going to do that. But I'll work with you out on the street. Okay? Now, I have my reasons why I don't want to go to Mass. You have your reasons why you don't want to go to a tongue-talking church, I suppose. But that shouldn't impact either one of us if we're fighting for equal justice and the stuff that we're doing out there that matters, where we can make a difference.
It depends on your ranking. Because, see, you can be a Christian and go to a Catholic Mass. You can be a Christian and go to a Baptist church. You can be a Christian and fellowship with your neighbors and neighborhood and not go to any building on the corner. Now, you can be a Christian and be active and used of God in many, many different arenas. But you cannot be a Catholic first and then claim to be a Christian too. Because then you're putting something in front of Christ. You have a God before Christ. You have your Catholicism before you have your Christianity. That doesn't work. God says, I will have no other gods before me.
But then we all do that. I agree with you, Larry. But we all do that, right? You ask a person, what religion are you? And they'll say Baptist, Methodist, right? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Lord help me here. Before I get any farther, is there anybody, am I forgetting any, and I'm not going to go to the calendar today. Calendar is there. You can always check the calendar. Next weekend, we're going to be in Mansfield, Ohio. Have a great event going on there, if those in Ohio. That's all I'm going to say about it there. This really hit me. What I'm going to share with you here really hit me. You can say a lot of things about me, but you cannot say that I'm dogmatic. I like that word. Jared, look that up. Dogmatic. Go to Mr. Webster and see what Mr. Webster says about the word dogmatic. I know a lot of dogmatic. Here's a good chance for everybody to say amen. Yeah, any of you out there know any dogmatic Christians? Meaning a settled opinion, a principle, maxim, or tenet, a doctrinal notion, particularly in matters of faith and philosophy, as the dogmas of my church, the dogmatic, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, that's dogmatic. And some people complain because they say my theology is too loose, whatever that means. Well, boys and girls, let me tell you something. Ain't nobody got this thing right. And none of it. I'm going to also tell you this. There's a lot of stuff you believe, it isn't true. And there's a lot of stuff that's true that you don't believe. That'd just be the truth of it, all right? So I'm not dogmatic here. And despite what others might say, you do not have to agree with me to be part of this show. You do not have to agree with me to be welcomed on the team. It's a life in the pit of hell. I know a lot of people don't agree with me. But I was thinking about this morning. I'm sorry, it's the way my mind works.
And Coach.
Yeah, Vic.
I said amen.
Amen. Vic's traveling from, he's going to Abilene, prettiest town I've ever seen. He's heading to Abilene right now.
Amen, right. Brother.
Okay, listen, I'm going to lay this one out there. I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit puts these things on my, somebody asks me this question. Somebody in my head or in my spirit asks me this question. What does it mean to be saved? That was my reaction. Start thinking about it. Are you saved, mother? Brother, you just need to get saved. Oh, do you know him? That's why he's saved. Holy Spirit said, well, what does that even mean? What does it mean to be saved? Saved from what? Saved to what? Saved through what? Brother, you just need to get saved. You know, he's not saved. We got to get Brother Joe saved. What does that even mean? But the Holy Spirit said to me, what does it even mean?
Hey, Coach, you got it. They've turned Christianity into buzzwords. That's it.
Yeah. You know, I did some research. You know what the genesis of the... I hate to say that. I want to do...
Coach.
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Vic. Are you... Vic, wait a minute. Vic, are you... Are you saved?
All you got to do is just get saved once, bro. Once. You get saved once and it's all over. You done it. Lie.
What does that mean to be saved? I'm trying to work on my watch here. It's blinking and I'm trying to shut it off here. Saved from what? What does it mean to be saved? And you ask the average Christian and they ain't never even thought about it. Never. Why? Well, I'm saved. Really? When did you get saved? Well, I got saved when I walked down the aisle and said, I was 11 years old in that old Baptist church. I got saved there. So, okay, what saved? What does it mean? Saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved. Saved. I did a little bit of research today. And Jared, go to Webster's. You're already there. So much we've got to unlearn, whether you be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Methodist or a tongue talker or no tongue talker. We don't even know what it means to be saved. So I went to Webster's this morning and asked this very simple question. Mr. Webster, saved, what does it mean? You folks sitting down? Preserved from evil. Not on my way to heaven. Going to heaven is a byproduct of salvation. Going to heaven is the final destiny on the journey of salvation. Being saved is not the end all. Being saved is a participle passive preserved from evil, injury, or destruction. Kept frugally, prevented, spared, taken in time. So to be saved, Jared, I found a word that's what I would call a synonym, synonymous, interchangeable. The interchangeable word to save, my boys and girlfriends, is delivered. Delivered. What is delivered, Jared? My phone's doing that again. Quit that. Quit it. Delivered. Freed. Released. Transferred or transmitted. Passed from one to another. Committed. Yielded. Surrendered. Rescued. Uttered, pronounced. Now, I want to ask you something. When you tell people that you are saved, or you want people to get saved, do you want them to get saved so they can go to heaven as a byproduct? Or do you want them at this current time, place, and now to be freed and released and transferred and transmitted and passed from one state to another? What does salvation mean? We've made salvation. We tell people that you can go to church, walk an aisle, say a prayer, be saved, and still not be freed, nor released, nor transferred, nor transmitted. That's why we see so many Christians who are walking the streets, people walking into the church who are living like hell because someone told them that if they say a prayer, they go to heaven.
Hey, Coach, think about it. The entire nation of Israel was delivered from Egypt. But of those who were 40 years and older, only two made it to the promised land.
So what am I saying? Do you understand that if we only make salvation about the destination, you're never delivered. And so when people cry out to the Lord that I might be delivered, you cry out that you might be delivered. Then the next question becomes, delivered from what? Saved from what? What are you saved from? I'm opening the door. Somebody walk in. Tell me something the Lord has, that receiving Jesus Christ delivered you from, saved you from. It's not just about going to heaven. Why do we always share the gospel and talk about heaven and hell? Even though they are important, why don't we help people get freed, released, transferred or transmitted, passed from one state to another? Why don't we talk about that as opposed to heaven and hell? Come on, doors open. Somebody walk in. Somebody come on in.
Because, hey, Coach, we've been taught that real love doesn't constitute telling everyone the truth. Real love is telling everyone the truth, even if it hurts. That's all.
Amen. But Vinny, it's more than going to heaven.
Of course.
When I started to talk about salvation, how many of you automatically thought heaven? I've been delivered from, boy. I've been delivered from alcohol. I've been delivered from lust. I've been delivered from selfish. I've been so many things I've been delivered from.
Coach? You know what it is? It's not about the reward. It's about showing the appreciation for the reward we were given.
Well, Vinny, it's not even that. I mean, I didn't mean to say it.
Yeah,
that way.
I understand.
It's not
that.
Even that.
I got you.
It is the outward manifestation of what happened to you. That's what it means.
Coach, we're getting delivered. We're getting delivered from evil, Coach. And, you know, Jesus, that's what Jesus said. And deliver us from evil.
Delivered. Okay, let's change the word, right? Free us from evil. Release us from evil. Transfer us from evil. The Lord's Prayer said, deliver us from evil, right? Free us from evil. In other words, demonic impulses, carnal mind, carnal nature. Lord, deliver me from that. Folks, listen. If salvation is only about heaven and hell, then why don't you go to heaven the moment you're saved? If that's all salvation is about, why do you have to hang around here all these years waiting to go to heaven? Oh, brother, Jesus is coming. I can't wait. Really?
Hey, Coach, the logical extension to where you're going, and praise the Lord. I mean, what a show. But the logical extension is, do we, as we speak to others, do we even have enough knowledge about this subject to help point others where they need to go? Are we operating under a false perception of what it's all about?
Right, Larry. Coach. And we hang on a second. We lead with heaven and hell. We lead with. Do you know anybody who really thinks they're going to hell? No. Do you, hey, dude, how would you like to give up those cigarettes? How would you like to be delivered from masturbation, dude? Huh? How would you like to be set free from that? That comes with salvation, by the way. Come on in, somebody.
Coach, it's about being delivered from the conditioning that we've suffered through all of our lives, generation past generation. It's the conditioning, whether it's the devil, it's the church, or whoever it is, we've been conditioned to believe that it's only about salvation, but it's not being delivered from the evil itself.
Amen. I've been delivered from religion. I've been saved out of religion. I've been delivered out of it. I have. Anybody else? Come on in.
Amen, Coach. When I first heard that word saved, it was, you know, first thing I think of as saved is that I was saved from the impending damnation of God who has stored up for the sons of disobedience.
Right.
But I am delivered in this lifetime. It's like an animal. If an animal is caged down, if he's set free, he's set free to live now in the freedom, because right. heaven and hell is a byproduct of those who endureth yes. to the end shall receive yes. the crown of salvation.
Yes. Yes. What good is salvation if it isn't more practical and rewarding now? Why do we go to people and say, you're going to go to hell, brother? No, you go to them and say, dude, you're trapped smoking them cigarettes. You mean to tell me you're a Christian and you're still smoking those cigarettes? You told me you were saved. You're saved, brother, and you're still sucking on them things? Well, there's something wrong here. Either you ain't saved, or I don't know the answer. But you don't
kind of look at it as having a ring of keys, Coach, you know, for a person who smokes a cigarette, whatever. I ask him, I said, if the Lord tells you to put them down, are you going to put them down? Because if not, then you become a son of disobedience. And I said, and what it is, I believe that if you're going to smoke cigarettes, I said, it's like having keys. I got keys to different rooms in my house.
Yeah.
The thing is that I'm the Lord of my house, so I can access any door. So when I look at God in a laity of an idea of this is that, do I give God all the keys to my life, or do I hold some of them keys to where I don't want to give God access to?
Great point, Dale.
Is he the Lord of all, or is he just the Lord of some?
Folks, I'm not picking on the smokers, okay? I'm not picking on the smokers. You smoke cigarettes, go for it. But if you don't want to smoke and you want to quit smoking and you keep smoking, dude, are you saved? You can't break that. You deny the power of the Holy Spirit in you to get rid of that addiction. You're either not saved or you're deceived. Does anybody disagree with me on that? Now, this is going to take us into demonic influences and all that other stuff. And yeah, all that stuff that the church doesn't want to talk about. But if you're saying, boy, you know what? When's the last time? Well, oh, you know me. I'm fresh and upfront on this show, baby. I'm pressing up on this show. How many of you ever say this? Just a second. I got to get it out. I don't want to get it out, but I got to get it out. How many of you ever really say, man, I'd sure like to quit this masturbation. I'd sure like to do it, quit it. But you know what? It's just got a hold on me. I'm going to go to church, you know, but I'm going to keep masturbating. So, man, I'd really like to give up this drinking. I drink way too much. I really like to give it up, but I'm just going. I'm struggling with it. I'm going to go to church. I'll keep going to church. What?
Coach,
you've been saved from that. Go ahead. Was it Alan trying to come in?
But I will tell you.
You know, we're being saved from our sins. Yes, you know, sir. A lot of people, if you ask them, what are you saved from? Oh, I'm saved from going to hell. Well, if they say that, they've totally missed it. God's saving us from our sins. And here's the thing, Coach. Here's the thing. If Jesus can't be Savior and Lord, he can't be Savior. He's got to be Savior and Lord. Listen, when we come to the cross, that's the Lamb of God that brings us to the cross. Paul said, get off the milk and get to the meat. Once we get to the cross, it's time to let Jesus be King and Lord of our lives. He helps us put all this stuff down. When he told the woman that was caught in adultery, go and sin no more, he was telling her, go and don't commit any more adultery. For him to say that, he's telling her he's going to give her the power and authority to lay it down.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, the Bible doesn't say confess with your mouth Jesus as Savior. It says confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord.
Amen, Larry.
And I go back to the same. There's a difference between being saved and being delivered. Yeah. And being delivered from, and that once again is when I'm dealing with things like smoking cigarettes, and that I deal with this, and I tell a man or a woman, and I say, has God tell you to put them down? And they're like, oh yeah, you know. And I said, then you're in disobedience. And it says, those who love me keep my commandments. The commandments is, as God tells you to do something, then you're commanded to do it. If not, then you become a son of disobedience. Proverbs chapter 6 says we become ensnared with the cords of our sin. Once again, that we are being made free, made from these things that entrap us in this life. When I got saved December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night, I was delivered from crack cocaine, dropping acid in my eyes, all these things. But for the next 6 months, I still smoked cigarettes and I lightly drank. Till one day I was 3 days in fasting and praying, and the Lord quickened me in my sleep, woke me up. He said, how can you be my witness and do those things? Brother, those desires left me. I've never touched a cigarette, and I never had a desire to put a drink to my lips ever since.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Dill. The key word is desire. He takes away that desire. That's the thing. That's what you deliver. That's to be delivered from. Takes away that desire to do those things.
Amen. That's what it means to be delivered.
Now, hold on a second.
Hey, Coach.
This is holiness. We're talking holiness here. And my challenge has always been, show me a holy man. Show me. Who among us here in this thing today, this morning, are holy men? You're all still in the flesh. Flesh is corruption. Amen. You will not be holy until you're given your new resurrection body. Jesus said that himself, did he not, Larry? Don't touch me because I am still corrupted.
That's right. That's what he said. That's what he said.
Your salvation is a pardon from sin. Your rebellion against God, which you are born into, is absolved. But you are not yet delivered. You won't be delivered until he welcomes you,
but you have
into the heavenly host.
You have victory over the sin law. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, listen, folks, every one of you right now, you have victory over smoking cigarettes. You just don't want it bad enough. You have victory over it. You've been delivered from it. You've been saved from that. Now, your carnal man doesn't want to give it up. And that's what goes back to what somebody said. I don't know, Larry, that he's not Lord. If that cigarette is stronger than the Lord, then he's not Lord. I'm sorry if this is harsh. This is the truth, right? And we always continually fight this carnal nature, this carnal desire. And what gets you in trouble in this world? Your carnal behavior. And what have you been delivered from? That carnal nature. You've got victory over that carnal nature. And some of us are confused in the whole idea of salvation and what happened to us. Where's Tim Tuber when I need him? The justification. Where is he when I need him? I'm just kidding, Tim. The justification. That you have been, you now have victory over that. Salvation, folks, salvation isn't a destination. It's a journey. And salvation is necessary to help you walk through this life. And not to be judged by what the opinions of other men. Opinions of other men. So I'm not going to do that because, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that because that looks bad. Oh, yeah? Well, good for you. When nobody's looking, are you going to do it? If you won't do it publicly, then why do you do it privately? If you wouldn't do it in front of Jesus, why do you do it at all? And I'm not talking about what some those heavy burdens that others lay on top of you and say, do this and don't do that. You can do this. You're not allowed to do that. And so, therefore, you live a moral life based on you don't want to look bad, rather than you're living a moral life because you've been delivered from that carnal nature.
That's the difference between desire and duty, Coach. That, you know, desire is because we love. I desire to please my wife because I love my wife. I desire to please my Lord because I love my Lord. And Paul dealt with this in Romans chapter 7. Before he got to Romans chapter 8, where he said, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The whole chapter 7 is where Paul is like, man, I'm struggling. I desire to do this. And then I find my flesh doing this. And I struggle back and forth. He says, and what can save me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Then he was able to go in Romans chapter 8.
Saved from what?
He was delivered from
his carnal nature.
That's right, exactly.
From his carnal nature. Now we all fall back. Come on, wait. That's not backsliding. Come on, how stupid is that? Come on, that's not backsliding.
That's because
when your carnal nature overrides your spiritual control.
I believe it's in the book of Revelations where John was saying, he said, and those who, here's a key word, those who practice sin, let them continue to practice. And those who practice righteousness, let them continue to practice righteousness. The backslider is those, it's not about, oh man, I blew it. And when it goes to the holiness, listen, in Peter it says, be holy for I am holy. That was Jesus speaking. That, I'm not holy. I'm just saying I don't practice unrighteousness, I practice righteousness. If I stumble and fall along the way, then Proverbs says a righteous man falls, but he what? Gets back up. But the backsliding is one who practices, one who continues in that sin.
Absolutely, Dale. You know, if you practice something because you want to get better at it, football players practice because they want to win the next game. If you're practicing sin, you're trying to get better at it.
Okay,
so let me throw this out here because, this is just an example of it. Just an example of it. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. Here we go. The use of alcohol. Use of alcohol. I'm sorry. I read the scriptures. I don't see where there's a prohibition between me having a beer with my meal. I don't see that. I don't see that anywhere. There's an admonition about drinking too much. Being drunk is a clear, clear admonition against that. But people will go to war over the fact that whether someone drinks alcohol or not. Now, listen, folks, understand this. It's your carnal nature. If you are drinking alcohol to fulfill a carnal desire, it's sin. If you can say yes or no to alcohol, if you sit down and you're going to have a hamburger and french fries and you order a beer with your meal because to you it tastes good with your meal, I'm going to tell you something. Sorry, folks, that ain't a sin. I'm sorry it didn't. Sorry. Now, it could be a ruin of your witness because of what the church has said about alcohol. It hurts your witness. You can't be a Christian and go sit up on stage with a cross hat on and be drinking beer in front of everybody. I get that because of the witness of Christ. But understand this. If I drink a beer, it's because I want to have a beer and enjoy the beer. It's not because that my carnal nature is in control of me. Do you understand the difference of those two things, see? And so we judge men by the outward appearance. Oh, you're a Christian? You shouldn't have a beer? Well, where does it say that?
And we judge according to our convictions. Once again, I go back and say this, Coach. It goes to if God, and I agree with what you're saying 100%, there's nothing in the scripture. Matter of fact, and even Paul said, mix a little wine with that for your stomach ailment. I know people who have a glass of wine with dinner. But when God told me to put it down, brother, I put it down because God told me.
There it is. For you, he says, don't do that stuff, man. Dale, listen. He says, Dale, know your nature. Don't do that, man. Don't go near that stuff. And so I understand people who abhor alcohol because they've seen what it does to other lives. I get it. And I agree with it. I saw what that did. I saw what that did to my brother, and he destroyed his whole family, and I'll never touch an ounce of alcohol. Well, God bless you, brother. I'm with you. But that ain't got nothing to do with me. But whether I want to have a beer with my wife.
I agree.
You know, the difference
is. But if God told you tomorrow, even though you casually will, here it comes down to, if the Lord, because it's just one of those things, if the Lord says, put this down, then our obedience, then exactly, that's the difference.
You're right.
Duty and desire.
I don't care. Hey, boys and girls, come on now. I might casually have a beer. I don't casually watch porn. Those aren't the two same thing, baby. Those aren't the same thing, see? And we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned by religion, right? You want victory over your carnal nature. If the Holy Spirit gives you permission to do it, obey the Holy Spirit. If he says don't do that, then don't do it. It's a matter of walking in the Spirit.
That's absolutely right. The difference, here's the difference, the way I see it. Religion is I have a conviction, so I put my conviction on you. The Lord gives me a conviction. I put it on you. That's religion.
There you go, Gary.
The relationship is he puts conviction on me, so I obey. That's relationship, not religion.
Well said, brother. Well said. Well, hey, come around here. Look at this face here. Come over here. Look, they all want to look. Look who comes walking in here. Some of you will know this face. Some of you won't.
Hey, coach, going back to porn.
Tree limb, Jim. Tree limb, Jim, alive and well in Hebron, Ohio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America.
Hey, brother.
Hey, coach. Let's put a clear definition between the word drinking and porn. The word porn in Greek, when they said fornication, the Greek word is porneo. That's where we derive porn from. Porn, watching porn casually or whatever, is fornication. That can't even
there you
be
go, brother. There to drinking. Okay, cool. Dale, I just want to differentiate between that, right? Between somebody looking at porn, saying, "Ah, oh, it's just something I enjoy doing." As to somebody having a beer, say, well, that's just something. I know this from Jim. He would tell me right now. Jim was a horrible alcoholic and will never touch it again.
No way, shape, or form.
Because he knows in his carnal nature what that would be. But the fact that Jim can't touch alcohol, does that mean no Christian can? Jim has been saved from himself. Amen. He's been saved from himself.
Well, first of all, no man should have that much hair. There's no man should have that much hair. But I think the other thing is this: the victory over sin.
Right.
It's not taught a lot. In the huddle, we've covered it many times. We're always going to have our failures, but we can have victory over issues. The Bible talks about it. And but what you hear so often is kind of a, well, just, you know, it's okay. He forgives it. But there are things and times when you want victory, you want it to end. And that needs to be taught more, that it can be ended. And now you may it may take a little time. There may not be a snap of a finger. But if you clearly want victory, God will provide that.
Well, he gives us, Roger, he gives us that small, still voice that says, don't do that.
Hey, coach. Don't,
that's salvation. Don't do that.
We hear so much of, well, it's kind of, it's a rough life, and it's still kind of okay, and hey, man, things are hard out there. You know, we don't hear enough of, listen, do you want out of this mess? Do you want out of this mess?
That's right. And because of your salvation, you can now get out of that mess. But you're going to have to make the decision whether you want out of it. And if the Holy Spirit... Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Hey, there's one thing here that we need to really look at. Satan can only dangle the bait. Satan cannot force us to sin. When Satan was in the garden with Eve, he made that fruit look so good, so tantalizing, so terrific, she went ahead and ate it. He didn't touch the fruit. He compelled her to grab the fruit and swallow it. He compelled her to do it. He couldn't force her, but she wanted to do it. He set that bait in front of her, and she took it. Now, the second thing I wanted to hit on is that alcohol business, Coach. I'm going to tell you, there's a spirit behind it, and I can prove it to you in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 9. There's a spirit, that little buzz spirit, because a lot of folks, they drink and do dope or whatever, because alcohol's dope. Let's just get down to the brass tacks. It's dope. There's a spirit behind it. There's a buzz that people love to get. And Isaiah chapter 24, verse 9 corrects that thing. It's a spirit, brother. If you read that, there will be no argument after you read that.
They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it.
Amen. The buzz spirit, God's going to take it away. That's during the tribulation period. They're going to go out here and try to get drunk and drink it off. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Amen. I get you. I get you. But see, here's the, I don't want to get buried on the alcohol thing. Listen, if you think you have, if you think you're not holy if you drink alcohol, it's between you and the Lord. We've got to stop projecting our social sins on others, on appearances. Well, that sounded awful. You guys get what I'm saying, right? Whatever the Holy Spirit says unto you, do it. It's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. Holy Spirit ain't ever going to tell you to look at porn or masturbate. He ain't ever going to tell you that. And the Holy Spirit ain't never going to tell you to smoke a cigarette. I just don't think he is. I don't think he is. So you have to listen. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Somebody. That's what it means to be saved. Mm-hmm. It's not a destination. It's a journey. Good, Joe. Somebody.
I was going to say that's why Jesus said, if your arm offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it. It doesn't mean your hand or eye. Whatever causes you to fall.
It means if you can't control it, get rid of it.
That's right. That's right.
If you can't control it, get rid of it. That is salvation. That's what it's about.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
When people ask me about alcohol, because being in law enforcement and stuff, I dealt with it, okay? I dealt with it a lot, and I saw a lot of lives tore up from the floor up from it. But anyway, when they ask me about it, this is what I tell them. I say, Jesus stood before everybody, and he said, this man, John the Baptist, he's the greatest prophet ever born of a woman. He said, this man, John the Baptist, is the greatest man ever born of a woman up till now. In other words, up till Christ, he was the greatest. His parents weren't allowed to touch alcohol, and neither was he.
Meaning what?
Mm-hmm. Meaning I'm not going to touch it. I don't want to touch it.
Okay,
you hear what I'm saying? Again,
that is a personal thing, right? And so we get in trouble, I think, we get in trouble for condemning people over something they do when it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that, not us.
Oh, yeah, I don't condemn them, Coach. Don't get me wrong. I don't condemn them, but I'm telling you this. I have seen so many people. I mean, we can run the gamut. Probably everybody on here has had somebody. Listen, if you take four people that's not Christian, just secular people, you set them down at the table and give them one drink, one out of the four is going to be an alcoholic.
Okay, Alan, how about this? How many are going to be hooked on this thing?
Oh, no doubt about it, Coach. I agree. Oh, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying I'm giving you a different my perspective. I'm giving you my perspective.
We scream and holler about alcohol, and people go to church and read the Bible on their screen while they're in church. The same screen.
No, I got you. I got you.
Well, let me ask you what you're saying. How many marriages have been ruined by Facebook and such the like? Meeting old. So see, I don't do Facebook because I don't like it. But I can't say you couldn't do it. How many lives has that ruined?
Only the Holy Spirit can direct us to that.
Absolutely.
If we're trying to follow the rules simply for rules' sake, boys and girls, you got religion. You don't have the Holy Spirit.
Hey, Coach.
If the Holy Spirit says to me, hey, Coach, don't do that, and I ignore him, then the carnal man has got victory over me. Yeah, Vic.
Coach, the Lord God, our Lord and Savior, gave us a menu, but not only a menu, he gave us a menu where you could order a la carte. So it's individualized, customized, like you're alluding to. The only thing that I wanted to add to that is that what you need to do is whatever your poison is and you recognize it and it's going to put a chink in your armor, you have to reconcile that particular Amen. Sin, whatever it is, and then that's your covenant, that's your contract with God. And once you make that contract, you shouldn't step back. If you happen to, well, that's the backsliding. But the sin is not in backsliding. The sin is in staying down and not getting up. And that's my story.
Amen. Amen. So listen, I got to do this real quick before I forget of it. When I've told you guys this on this show, I do stream of consciousness. Sometimes what's coming out of my mouth, I can't explain it. I'm ahead of what's out of my mouth. When something's come out of my mouth, I've already thought about it. I'm on to the next thing. Sometimes I get confused. And a month ago, whenever that was, I spoke with Terry Allen yesterday, Mountain Man. Some of you guys know Mountain Man. And when the guys on that Monday went to Chappaqua and then went to the police department, all that stuff. And remember I said I wasn't there and did all that stuff. I mentioned who all was there, and I didn't mention Terry. It was just an oversight, and I feel bad about that.
Because Mountain Man
stayed behind to do it, stayed another night, and then when I'm talking about Matt being there and Mark being there, and I'm running down through the list, I didn't remember Terry. So I want to publicly apologize that I didn't acknowledge that. And it's just important. I mean, he's one of us, man.
Oh, man.
He's a worker, and I just want to publicly apologize that, man, I forgot to say Terry. Mountain Man was right there with him. So publicly, I wanted to say that. I hear somebody. Is that Vic trying to come in? About there. We got 5 minutes left here.
No, I just made it into Abilene. That's all I got to say. I've never seen
women there will treat you clean in Abilene, right? Something like that. It is what it is. Well, here's what I intended to do today. Never really got to it. Was I wanted to talk about the essentials of the faith. I got 4 minutes left. I'm not going to pull them up there right now. And all this stuff that basically we've spoken about today are non-essentials. Non-essentials, right? They're non-essentials. And that's where all the argument lies. That's why we have Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and non-denominationals. And it's all over lettuce and tomatoes and pickles. All of it is. And I would never, well, sometimes where my mind goes, I don't want to go there. So the message of salvation is so much more than heaven and hell. And we who share the gospel regularly on the streets, that's where we often start. It's heaven and hell. And sadly, never get beyond that. And I believe that we come in contact with people all the time, every day, who want to have the victory of the gospel now. Not in the great by and by. Are you going to go to heaven, brother? Where are you going when you die, brother? No. Your life a mess, brother? Your life's a mess? You're hooked on drugs and running around on your wife and watching porn? You'd like to be delivered from that? Well, brother, you have to enter into the kingdom of God, where there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus came, John the Baptist came, they're talking about the kingdom of God. They weren't talking about getting saved. John the Baptist, first message he ever spoke. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus follows along 20 verses later, says, hey, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What's the kingdom of God? It's God, the power of God inside you, in the here and now. That's the gospel, the ability to change a life. To change your, give you victory over your animalistic carnal desires. That's salvation. You can't be saved and continue in your carnal ways, folks. You can't. If somebody's told you that in your church, they've been lying to you. They heard it from Jody Two Shoes. That's what her grandpa told her when he used to pastor a church 30 years ago. And that doctrine's been handed down through the church. I'm making some of you very, very nervous because you know Jody Two Shoes, and you might be her. But the Holy Spirit gives you control over your carnal nature. It's not Victor's job to control my carnal nature. That's not his job. Victor's job is to let me know that my carnal nature can be controlled. And then it's up to me and the Holy Spirit. And the way you live your life matters because it is a witness to others, of the power that is inside of you. And whether or not you are in control of what you do and what you say, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have control of all those things that you do and say, and you ain't saved. That's the way I say it. Going to heaven and hell, I don't even know. I don't even know. But if you're saved, they'll know you by your fruit as you're walking out in the here and now. Hey, pray for us this weekend. Got a big weekend ahead, and I'm going to go over there, and I like to gore those sacred oxes. I'll be poking and goring some of them. So just be praying for us in Lima, Ohio, for Pastor Mike and the crew. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday morning.
Amen, Coach.